Appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Safe traveling mercy for all of us. I think about how he has safely brought each and every one of us to this place, at this time, at this location. You know, when God does so much, so often, you know what the tendency is? To be like the children of Israel and to take it for granted. And to not recognize his greatness even in the day-to-day happenings of life. God is greatly to be praised. He is one who is faithful to his creation and especially faithful to his children. I find that serving the Lord, there are special blessings that he pours out upon his children as they endeavor to please him and to live for him. As if salvation weren't enough and the promise of heaven, there are those perpetual blessings that fall down upon us. And I would to God this morning that we take a moment to stop and recognize just how awesome he is. The thought that I have this morning is about GOAT, G-O-A-T. And that thought stands for the greatest of all time. In the secular world that we live in, there is perpetual discussion. It doesn't matter what the activity is that people engage in, there's always a discussion as who was the best at it. There are those that are currently doing whatever it is, and there are those that have done it before, and they keep elaborate statistics. Some of these folks, they quote it like we do Bible verse. And they pay great attention to it. And I guess if it is their God, that would make sense that they'd pay that much attention to detail of it. But there's a discussion that goes on as time rages on and who is the best of this generation. And invariably, they start to have the conversation of who is the greatest of all time? Who is the best at this particular thing? Well, you know, we serve a God that is the greatest of all time, that is the one true living God, the God that has doesn't inhabit time, but has always been and will always be, and a God that is not suppressed by any situation. And I would to God that we would be mindful, and my hope and my burden this morning, and I believe the desire of the Spirit of the Lord is to lift our spirits this morning where we consider our own lives. And we think about where we're living, we think about the circumstances that we find ourselves surrounded with, we think about the desires of our heart and the work of the Lord that we desire to see accomplished. And we think about the broken lives that are around us, and we think about our own personal struggles where the enemy tries to war against us. And I would to God that you'd be reminded this morning that your God is undefeated. Our God has never lost a battle. Our God has never had to hang his head and walk away with the loss going, I hope I'll do better next time. And it happens so often. It happens so frequently. Billions upon billions of times, God has taken an ordinary man or woman and caused them to have a place of victory that it happens so often that the temptation of the devil is to get us to just get used to it. You remember the children of Israel? I remember reading in just a brief synopsis. If you look at it from a big picture standpoint, you see a people that were called of God and they drew close to him and he blessed them. And after a while, they got spoiled. They took it for granted. They started to do whatever they wanted to do according to their own wisdom. And they found themselves backslidden and God punished them. And as a result, people would humble themselves and then they would turn back to God and God would bless them again. And I remember as an early Christian reading that and thinking, what's wrong with them? Can't they see what's going on? And it doesn't take long to look in our own lives, my own life. How many times have we gotten down in the mully grubs? How many times have we got down in the situation? And Lord, this seems too big. We don't say those words sometimes consciously, But on the subconscious, as we go through some events and we go through some difficult places and you know, things get real when our emotions are involved. And now it's people that I love and it's people that I care about. And I long so bad for them to know the realization, the fullness of this gospel. But Lord, there's so many things. God is not limited by things. He is not limited by circumstance. He is the God of all time. I want to get some scripture this morning in the 12th chapter of Acts. Desire the Lord's blessings this morning as we look into His Word and we recognize that we're not dealing with an ordinary God. He's not the creation of men's imagination. There are many of those around. Remember Brother Wynn, I'll share his little testimony. Brother Wynn was having a discussion with his father, and I know some of you have been praying for his father for years. He's a Buddhist man. And they were having a spiritual discussion, and Wynn has just been kind of exasperated with his father and just said, I've committed it to the Lord, and you know what? You just do your thing, and I'll do my thing, and we'll see the fruits of it. And his dad was not content with that, and persisted against him and started to press him and tell him he was following a false religion. And Wynn says, I don't know what happened, but I just started to tell him the truth. And he began to call out the limitations of the false religion that his father was following. And it didn't take long before his father exhibited the limitations of that religion, became extremely carnal. And it was then that he was able to point and say, this is exactly what I'm talking about. That there are limitations in these little gods that men and women have created in their minds. It will not sustain people. And it doesn't take long to look around at the world and see the different things that people have given their lives to, only to see it fail. You know, sometimes the devil likes to tempt, and he likes to assault our minds on a subconscious level. Right? The scripture says, casting down every vain imagination that would exalt itself against the things of God, right? The devil likes to bring these ideas on a subconscious level, and he likes to get us to look at all these different places of failure. Look at all these different religious systems and people in the world and the things that they put their trust in, and it fails. And then he tries to get you to say, well, do you think maybe, just by chance, that what you believe in, what you're giving your time to, that it might fail too. This is how subtle the enemy is. And by the help of the Lord, we want to lift up a wall, a bulwark against those kinds of warfare that the enemy brings, that we'd understand that our God is not going to fail. He has never failed. He has got a proven track record. When you think about, sometimes we look at people. We look at people, and sometimes when you're young, you look at some older ones and you see that they struggle and they fail, and some even go away and turn completely away from God. It's not because God has failed. Amen. Don't allow the enemy to beat you up. We want to lift up a bulwark against him. Looking here in the 12th chapter of Acts, we have a story of Peter. And Peter was preaching before King Herod. Maybe we'll pick up in, maybe the fourth verse. And it says, when he had apprehended him, meaning Herod had apprehended Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. I want to stop right there for a moment, because sometimes when we read the word, we just get like it's a novel and read way too fast. And what we see here, if we think about who Peter was and what his life was about, he was a fisherman. He was just an ordinary common man in Judea and doing an ordinary common job, if you will. He wasn't anything spectacular. He wasn't by his own right a righteous or holy or spectacular or praiseworthy man. Yet God saw fit to call him to be an apostle. And I think it's worth note that as we think about the God of all time, sometimes when there are people out in the secular world and they're real to do and their real good at what they do and they're real popular, held in high esteem, not very many common people are around them. So there's another way in which the enemy tries to pervert our thinking and to cause us to think sometimes when we think God is so righteous, so holy, so awesome, so everything, he wouldn't want to have anything to do with poor little old me. And that's simply not true. That's a lie from the pits of hell. The truth is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, and that whosoever is anyone, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. The scripture also teaches God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come unto him. And so we see that even though we have a God that is the greatest of all time, he is the God of all time, who is without failure, yet he is very much interested in individual lives. And I would to God that you'd be that selfish this morning. That you would take hold of the fact that if Jesus knew you were going to be the only one left on earth that could benefit from him dying on the cross, that he still would have done it. Because he loves you that much, and he cares about you that much, and he's that concerned about the details of your life. There's not a detail that doesn't matter to God. Scripture teaches even the very hairs on our head are numbered. That's pretty good attention to detail. And to think something, you just kind of comb around a little bit, throw a hat on, whatever you do with, and you go out the door, and before long you don't think about it once you get out there. But God knows exactly what's going on there. Yes, amen. So it is, he knows what's going on with you. And you see, there's Peter here. Peter, just a common, ordinary fisherman. Ordinary person. He did extraordinary things. He walked on water. He also denied Jesus. And, you know, when I think about Peter and I think about his life and the things that he'd been through, and here he is in prison. And I can't help but think that maybe the devil came along and said, remember that time you denied Jesus? That's why you're here. And it wouldn't take long for Peter. We read that he's pretty quick to ideas and quick to action. And I could see with an idea like that, it wouldn't take long to get down, to even get to the point of depression, to start to think about, oh, I was the one that denied the Christ. I deserve what I got in here. I deserve what's happening to me. This is how real the battle is for us this morning. This is how the enemy likes to work in our day-to-day lives, and he tries to assault our minds as we endeavor to live for the Lord. But I would to God this morning that you lift your head up, that your ear be open unto the pleadings of the Spirit, and that you know that there is not a thing that touches your life that God hasn't permitted. There's not a thing that doesn't come into your life that God hasn't ordained himself. I still remember the time, and I tell it as often as I can, I still remember the time when I was in a place where I was in a spiritual rut. I hadn't turned my back on the Lord, but I just wasn't feeling, I was just feeling kind of, And I remember praying and begging, and Lord, I need to see you in a way that I've never seen you before. Lord, I need something. I need some kind of inspiration from you. And I'd like to say that when I got up from prayer that there, the light was shining and there was nothing. But we still continue on. We still had that prayer committed to the Lord. And it was a day or two or something later. And I remember I was there on the internet. And the Lord made me go to the King James Bible online and type in a word. And when you type it in, it searches and tells you how many times it appears in the Bible. And all the different places it is. And I remember I was needing that inspiration. And the Lord spoke to me so quietly. And he says, type in the word accident. So I typed it in and it came back. Zero matches. And God whispered, he says, that's because I don't make any. There are no accidents with God. Everything that he does is on purpose and for purpose. And so it is, as Peter could say, think it not strange of the fiery trial, which is to try your faith. The same Peter that we have sitting here in prison that took the assaults of the enemy upon his mind, that brought all these doubtful disputations and why are you doing the thing? You thought you were serving the Lord, but here you are in prison. If you were really serving God, you wouldn't be in this situation. Things would be a little bit different. The enemy likes to appeal to our human reasoning. This is the major fallacy of a lot of so-called Christianity, is they get humanistic. They start to think about it according to man's ways and man's ideas. And then there's failure once men enter into the picture. Once their ideas and ideologies get involved, there's failure. But when it's left to God and God alone, and I know they say you should never say never, but God never fails. And it's okay to say that. We can rest assured that our God does not fail. And so it was that we found Peter. He says, Peter was therefore kept in prison. Things look kind of bleak, kind of dark, but the next word is but. You know that's a contradictor. When you're in a conversation and you're talking to somebody, and when they say something and you say but, that means you're about to contradict something, if not all, of what they've just said. If you agree, you'd say and. There's a little more that you missed. And so when we're reading this story, it says, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God unto him. You understand what is going on here? There was a body of people that understood the circumstance didn't matter because we know the God of all time who is able to do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants. We know the God that caused not only the sun to stand still, but actually turned it backwards. We know the God that was able to raise Lazarus from the dead. We know the God that was able to protect. I think about the story of Joseph. How awful it would have been to have been sold into slavery by your own brethren, knowing that they wanted to kill you. You think about it. If you've lived for the Lord any amount of time, you know what it's like to be offended and feel like nobody in the church likes you. If I were to ask for a show of hands, every single one of us would say, I've felt that before. That's one of the many tactics the enemy uses. How much more would it be that your own family, your own kindred, wanted to kill you instead? They just sold you into slavery. And you think about Joseph, and one of the things that's always amazing to me about the story of Joseph, as he went through his life and was sold into slavery, it wasn't a glorious life, it wasn't pleasant, and there, if anybody ever had an opportunity to hold a grudge and be upset, surely it would have been him. And if ever there was somebody who had an opportunity to say, you know, my circumstances are pretty messed up, I've been done wrong, it's not that I've done anything wrong, all I did was deliver the vision the Lord had given me. It's not like I said it was my own idea. And yet he was persecuted for doing the work and the will of God. Such is the experience of God's children. Think it not strange of the fiery trial, which is to try your faith. So it is, as you know, you think about Joseph. You know you never read of one instance where he had a bad attitude. Not once. You never read of where he caught somebody else's ear and he says, oh, I got one for you. Let me tell you what my brothers did to me. You know, sometimes people get to sharing their war stories and the things that are bad and wrong and things that have happened and everybody tries to one-up the other sometimes. Well, if that's nothing, let me tell you. You never read of that. You know why that is? I'm persuaded in my mind is because he knew who his God was. He knew what his God was capable of so that when he was able to be promoted and demoted and promoted again and get to a high place and finally get what he maybe, oh no, I got what I deserve. Now people are treating me right. He never was like that. And when he had opportunity and the master's wife pursued him, do you remember his response to her? How could I do that to my God? Here was a man that had it deeply rooted in his heart, that he understood that he had the greatest of all time. He had the God of all time that superseded how he felt about how his brothers had treated him, how he felt about the circumstance of life. He was moved to a foreign country, a place he never wanted to be. Yet he remained. Because he knew his God was faithful. He knew his God would take care of him. And so it was as God worked out and he finally saw his brethren. You remember the message that he gave to his brothers? He said, what you meant for evil. You ever felt like somebody meant evil for you? You ever felt like The devil's got such a hold on a life, got such a hold on a situation that's just pure evil. You know the amazing stories that we read of people's testimonies. You know the amazing things, the things that inspire us when we read these testimonies. Well, the thought came to me like this. Amazing or extraordinary events require dire, if not hopeless, circumstances. That's what makes them extraordinary, is that it's such a dire and hopeless place. And this is what Peter was talking about when he says, don't think it's strange. Don't get caught up in what your eyes see. And one writer says, regarding not what I may see, my faith, O Lord, ascends to thee. And so it is that we be inspired this morning to realize that we must not be bound by the circumstance, but recognize who it is that we serve and recognize the power and the ability that He has. And you think about all the different biblical characters that bring you inspiration. I mean, even Daniel sitting in the lion's den. It wasn't just a fantasy story that communicated an idea. This really happened. This is a reality. A man was lowered down into a pit with hungry lions and survived all night long with no stress. No stress. Why? Because the God of all time, who is the greatest of all time, kept him in perfect peace because his mind was stayed upon the Lord. And so it is true for those, and it has been true for those maybe in our own lives, people we look up to, we hear their stories and their testimonies. As a side note, can I encourage you to testify as often as you get a chance? Your story becomes a pillar of faith for somebody else when they see that it's not just these old characters of the Bible or people that lived 100 years ago, but it's somebody that's right next to me that's experiencing the same kinds of things that I'm experiencing, yet God is still alive and working their life. Because when I hear that, it brings up hope. It springs within me. And I look and I say, Lord, maybe me too. Maybe you could do that for me. You never know. Honestly, what people are going through. I think particularly in holiness groups, we're good at keeping everything close to the chest. We're good at, well, I'll just get through. You just pray the Lord help me. And don't always get into all the detail. You don't always know what the person in the pew next to you is suffering from. Your testimony's value. It's very valuable. And when we read these stories, it brings us inspiration. And it says, Peter was here, but prayer was made. At home, we have a little plaque that hangs in the back. And it's been there even when I wasn't saved and used to go, it's been there I don't know how long. And it's real simple. Prayer changes things. Three simple little words. Prayer changes things. God really hears. He really answers prayer. And don't worry about what the circumstance might look like, because these folks prayed and Peter was still in prison. But prayer was made. God was notified. God took note that his children had a desire. That his children had something that was troubling them. And our God hears and answers prayer. He is still on his throne. His power is not diminished. It doesn't matter how wicked the world gets. It doesn't matter how sophisticated men might think they are. And all of their inventions, all of it will be brought to naught by the power of Almighty God. We read here that Peter, he was in this prison, locked up, and there were guards, and there wasn't just one. They took extra special care. It was almost like the devil's like, no, we know who this one is. We're just going to really, really do it right. And there are circumstances of life. I'm persuaded there are situations that you've thought about and maybe might even this morning be on the verge of losing hope that God can't fix that situation. I want to tell you this morning, He can. without a shadow of doubt in my mind. It doesn't matter how dark and difficult the situation. I was sharing with a few folks. I have a brother who's done a lot. He's been in and out of jail and prison most of his life. 5 years older than me. He's currently serving 10.5 years. And every time he goes in there, his survival mechanism was to join the Aryan Brotherhood gang, which I'm thankful probably most folks don't know anything about it, but I'll just tell you this. They are one of the most dangerous, if not the dangerous, on the inside. They operate and function like terrorists in there. And this last time when my brother went in, I mean, he's had times where he's gone in and he says he got right with the Lord, and I know it was just so he can get an extra hour out of his cell to go to a Bible study. And it gets... it gets discouraging sometimes. I'll be honest, saints. It does. Sometimes you pray and you're like, Lord, is he ever going to do it? Is he ever going to make it? And you know the danger. Your mind reasons all these things out. You know how real the danger is. This last time he went in, I've been praying and praying. And he renounced his gang affiliation. And I know that's a miracle from God. But it also puts his life in danger. At any moment, if he walks out into that yard, he will not survive a single day. Because they will kill him. And they don't care who's watching. It could be 5 guards. They don't care. And it's been a struggle of faith. But I will also say, he sent me a written testimony. And for once, it's real. It's genuine. And I thank God for that genuine testimony, for something that's real. And, you know, you go through all these things psychologically, and there's battles that wage on in our mind, and the enemy is there and saying, he's going to die, he's not going to get out, and how's that going to break your mom's heart, and all these different kinds of things. And then, you know... people that care about me and know the struggle that I'm going through, they try as best they can. They say, well, he's really saved now, so if he dies, he'll go to heaven. Well, I have to say, that's not very consoling. I'll just be honest. I know that's true. And on a spiritual level, yes. I get that and I believe it wholeheartedly. But when you're in a battle and you're really struggling, that's not really the most comforting thing to say. Well, I have seen, even in his situation, God be the God of all time and the greatest of all time. Because of the danger that is imminent on his life, he's been in a particular incarceration area where they call protective custody. And he's applied for that, and we prayed over it, and I've called, and I've made emails, and all these different kinds of things, and then he gets the information back, denied. And he fills out the appeal, and we pray, and we do all the different things. Denied. And to make matters worse, they sent him to one of the most dangerous yards. It has the nickname Stick'em Steiner. And that's where he got sent. But by the time he had gotten there, God had given me a peace and caused me to know and caused me to realize that he's in God's hands and it's not up to me. It's not up to my ability to pray a certain kind of way or the saints to pray a certain kind of way. It's our responsibility to communicate that to the Lord, but then to leave it and trust it in his hands, because he is a God who never fails. And the Lord has kept him. And I am thoroughly convinced, as I stand here before you, the next 8.5 years that he has to go, that God will preserve his life. I'm confident that God can do that if he decides to do it. It doesn't matter the circumstance. It doesn't matter what's around him, because he is God and he is not limited by anything that men can do. You remember the story of Samson? Mighty man. And I think about him tied up, bound and blinded in that gathering hall. And he could have felt depressed about all his failures and all of his struggles. But he had enough faith and enough hope in God that he cried out with one more prayer. And he says, Lord, just give me one more opportunity. And God blessed with that opportunity and took care of the whole situation. This is the God that we know. This is the God that we love. And so it was that these people were here praying. And we read on in the sixth verse. And it says, when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains. So, I mean, you look at the circumstance. Not only are there people in front, but then there's a gate behind them. And then you're inside the prison and you're bound. And there's two soldiers sleeping right beside you. Not much opportunity for escape. But prayer was made. And so it was. And the keeper before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord. You hear that? And? Right? Here's the whole situation. Peter's got guards in the front, got the prison doors. He's inside the prison doors. There's two guards beside him, and he's bound. But there's more to the story. Why? Because prayer was made. Prayer still changes things. In 2017, prayer still changes things. It doesn't matter how much that paganistic spirit and the power of the beast is raging on and doing all this thing. All his power is borrowed. Amen. Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth are given unto me. Amen. All means everything, nothing left. And so prayer was made, and it says, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. What about the guards? What about the gate? What about the chains? Doesn't matter. The angel of the Lord is here. Things are different now. What seemed so bleak, what seemed so hopeless, what seemed impossible. In a moment, God changed the scene. It's kind of like, well, I play a lot of basketball. I play the kids at school. It's kind of like, you know, you're down by 30 points with 2 seconds to go. Your common sense tells you there's a three-point line, and that's about all I could do. And if I get fouled, I might hit a free throw. There's four. God invents a 50-point shot and hits it right at the buzzer. You say, you can't do that. God can. And therein is the problem when we say, you can't, I can't. It's not about us. It's about the goat. It's about the greatest of all time who is able to do whatever he wants because he created all of this. And then you start, and it's a funny little story, but when you think about the situations, Peter was really in prison. People were really troubled, really praying. And the angel came, and I love it. He says, smote him. I smacked him a little bit. Wake up. God's on the scene. It's time for something to happen. It's time to rise and shine and give God the glory because he's going to do something here. Peter on the side and raised him up saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. This isn't normal. And it wasn't a magic trick either. This was real. Our God has power over this natural world. There's nothing there that stops him. And so it was that Peter came out and he was able to go to the house. And I like it, the little damsel that answered the door. He knocked on the door and she opened it and saw him. And shut the door and ran in and told her, I just saw Peter. And he's like, can you just open the door? I'd like to come in. Sometimes in our human nature, we get so impressed with what God has done that we don't recognize, wait a minute, he really, wow. God still answers prayer like that. Amen. Don't allow people of this world to steal this from us. Amen. Don't allow the times in which we live. Don't allow human reasoning to try and water down the effect of what our God does on a regular basis. And Lord, help us never to take it for granted. Like the children of Israel who were blessed like this, to think that they walked across an ocean on dry ground and looked and saw the walls of the ocean on each side of them. The first walk-through aquarium by the children of Israel. And it wasn't long before they got over to the Canaan land that they forgot about what he had done. Lord, help us to remember. Help us to never forget who our God is. It'll cause you to have a little pep in your step. It'll cause you to have your chin up. As I tell kids at school all the time, I tell people I know, keep your head up. It's easier to see God that way. We have to recognize who our God is and what He's capable of doing. This is why it's so important as we read our Bible and we read about what God has done in people's lives. It's extraordinary the things that He has done and the way that He has blessed His people, the way that He has taken. You think about Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more. Elijah got to go up in a chariot of fire. And there's all the different ways people pass from this world to the next. And God is faithful through it all. And He'll not only be faithful in death, He'll be faithful in the glorious mundane of life. The ho-hum of life, the things that we do. So many times when we get really desperate, we obviously recognize God. And when we're getting really blessed and really up or high, we recognize God. But you know, most of your life is lived in between that. What I call the glorious mundane. But He's God of that too. He's an ever-present help in a time of need. Men and women have penned all these different kinds of words to give a testimony, to speak the truth of a God that truly is the greatest of all time, who has never lost a battle, who doesn't make accidents. So as you go through your life, you can know you're not an accident. And as you go through life and you live and you do the things that you do that day, and it seems like everybody's out to just get in your way and cause you all kinds of grief and shine your grace up real good, God's got a purpose and a reason in that. You know, this is more than just a belief. It's a faith that's backed by action. Closing, I want to read a scripture in the 5th chapter of Galatians. Talking about how we live. And it's more than just an emotion. It's more than just an idea. It's more than just a theology. But it's a reality. And the scripture that came to mind, the Lord gave, is Galatians 5 and I believe 6. It says, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." It's not the circumstance. It's not all the rituals and things. It's the fact that there is a God that loves us. There is a God that cares deeply and passionately about us and all the intricate details of our life. And as we confess our faith in Him, that it's more than just an idea, it's more than just words that we say, but it permeates into our actual being and into the actions. As we get up and we rise each morning and we go about to do our life's day, that we truly, honestly believe and we walk in faith and we do things for God and we live our life in such a way that we love Him in return, and we know that He is our God that keeps us, that looks out for us. And it's not to say that our emotions aren't touched by the things that we face, the circumstances we hear of, the things that we find ourselves in. There's going to be, it's not that we're just going to, everything's going to be wonderful and you float along and everything's just a great day. That's not realistic. But what is realistic is to know that there is a God who never fails, who never tires, who never quits. He'll hold your hand and He'll walk with you through it. And I can assure you of this one thing. There's nothing God hasn't faced. There's no need to be fearful. Doesn't matter what you face, we know a God that has been there, done that, made the shirt. You know the saying goes, been there, done that, got the t-shirt. He has been there, He has done it, and He's claimed the victory already for you and I. All we have to do is walk in it. All we have to do is exercise our faith in it. And you know, there's times when you have some faith, but it's a little bit short. We don't usually talk about that. But you know, there was a man in the Bible that was like that. And I appreciated his honesty because he said, "Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief." And you know, God knows how to handle that as well. You need not be ashamed. Be honest with the Lord. Let Him know where you're at. Allow Him to deal with your life, and you're going to find that He's going to take you through all kinds of stuff. And He's going to give you a testimony that is going to inspire others as they look on and as they watch and they behold your life. Some of them you'll get to talk to, some you'll never get to speak to. But your life, the actions, the things that you stand for, your faith as it works by love, people can't help but notice. It's what Jesus was talking about when He says, "When you the city that is set on a hill, it cannot be hid." Why? Because the presence and the glory of God is there and people look and behold it from afar. And they can't help but recognize that there is something there. And so it is as we live our life. You know, if the Lord permits and this world goes on another 100,000 years or whatever, there's going to be a time where some of our testimonies are going to get written down and somebody in the future could read those and they're going to be inspired just like we are from Paul, Peter, Moses, Samson. Your life counts. Your life matters to God. And He's going to carry you through with victory if your faith and your trust is committed to Him.